Man, can you say that like you mean it? Do you love him more than anything? Hallelujah. 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 I want to love him more than anything. Just going to read a couple of scriptures here. From the book of Luke, chapter 24, verse 40. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. Jumping down to verse 46. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. If you could bow your heads with me, Father, we thank you this day for your presence, for your anointing. Lord, let this message find good soil. We thank you in Jesus' name. Give God a praise offering. Turn to your neighbor and say, Lord, speak to me. You may be seated in Jesus' name. We've probably read this scripture a lot of times. The backstory is this was about 7-8 days after his crucifixion. He had been seen on the crucifixion by Mary Magdalene, by Peter, by John. And then 7 days later, he had appeared to two men as they walked on the road to Emmaus. And these two disciples were talking about how Christ had suffered and how this was a surprise, that they had expected that the Messiah would have come and delivered them, taken them out of the oppression, the affliction, the pain, the tyranny of the Roman Empire. And as they were walking, Jesus joined them and started to talk with them and explain to them from the scriptures how that it was prophesied that he should suffer. And as he talked with them, the Bible said he opened their eyes, opened their understanding. And as they walked, something in their hearts burned, but they didn't recognize him at the time. And finally, they came to the little village of Emmaus, which was about 5 miles from Jerusalem. And it says that Jesus would have gone on, would have passed by, but they said, come, no, stay with us tonight. It's getting dark, stay with us. And they decided to stay. And as they gave him the bread to break it and he blessed it, that's when they recognized who it was, that Jesus had been walking with them all this way. And they were so excited, they were so overcome, that they immediately, even though it was at night, decided they had to go back to Jerusalem and tell the rest of the disciples that they had seen Jesus. So this is what they did. They got up and they ran back 5 miles. By that time, it must have been really late at night. And they went into the disciples' gathering and told them, we too have seen Jesus. And as they were telling about their story, Jesus himself appeared. And at first the disciples were frightened. They thought he was a ghost, a spirit. But Jesus said, no, it's really me. You don't have to be afraid. Touch me. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. It's really me. In fact, They gave him some fish and some bread, and he sat down in front of them and started to eat. And when he was finished, he then started to explain to them how suffering, affliction was prophesied. Thus it is written in verse 46, thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But then he gives them a command. He says, but tarry. In other words, stay, wait in Jerusalem until he be endued with power from on high. And it's really verse 50 that jumped out at me. He told them to stay in Jerusalem. But then he leads them out of Jerusalem to a little village that's about a mile and a half outside of Jerusalem called Bethany. And then he disappears. He leaves them in Bethany. Now, around Jerusalem were dozens of little small villages that were built outside the city for the very purpose of hosting strangers, because inside the city itself were where the wealthy, the priests, the Sadducees, the Pharisees lived. But during the feast days, many, many tens of thousands of people would flock to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast. But there wouldn't be anywhere for them to stay in the city. So around Jerusalem was dozens of little villages, just like the one where he had met the two men walking, which was Emmaus. And next to Bethany was another little village called Bethpage that was like a twin city, like a twin little villages. But Bethany was the one where he led them. And what jumped out to me, my wife and I were praying and she read this scripture and it just hit me. Why Bethany? So that's the title of this message. Why Bethany? He had told them, stay in Jerusalem. But then he leads them to Bethany and then disappears. And it just hit me, wasn't that so strange? He told them to stay in Jerusalem, but he leads them to Bethany and then he disappears. If he was going to disappear, why didn't he just disappear in Jerusalem? These two villages were places where the pilgrims would stay, Bethpage and Bethany, on their way from Galilee. Because they did not want to go into the area of the Samaritans, they would have to come that way. Most of the people who lived in Bethany were from Galilee, from the home of Jesus, from where Peter and most of the disciples came from, because that was on the route to go into Jerusalem. But here is Jesus telling them that they should stay in Jerusalem, but then he leads them to Bethany and leaves them there. And you know, whenever you see a mystery like that, you know there's going to have to be a story. There's got to be a reason why Jesus did that. Now these two cities, these little villages really, Bethany and Bethpage, were right on the slopes of the Mount of Olives. Were right on the slopes of the Mount of Olives. And they were within walking distance of Jerusalem for a reason. Because on a Sabbath day, according to the law, that's all you could do. You could only go as far as you could walk. So all of these villages that were around Jerusalem were within a Sabbath day's journey so that you could walk from the village into Jerusalem to celebrate at the temple the feast. But instead of going to Jerusalem, Jesus leads them out. And then he leaves them in the town of Bethany. He leaves them outside of Jerusalem, even though he had told them, I want you to stay in Jerusalem. So this made me start to dig a little deeper and try to understand what was Jesus' plan. What was he doing? Why did he take them out of Jerusalem to this little town of Bethany? And what you have to understand is what the name Bethany means. You know what Bethlehem means? It means house of bread. Bethlehem was only a little bit further away from Jerusalem, about 5 miles. But he didn't lead them to Bethlehem. He led them to this place called Bethany. And of course, you know from the name that it means the house of something. And when you look at it, it means the house of affliction. The house of suffering. He had just explained to them that it behooved Christ to suffer. And then he leads them out of Jerusalem to a place that's called the house of suffering. But there's something special about this little village, because when you look in the Bible, you find in the New Testament that it was a place that Jesus went to often. It was a city or a little village where he stayed a lot. And it doesn't seem that it has much significance until you understand that this was a place that was set up originally for people who could not legally enter the city of Jerusalem. That it was a place for sick people. It was a place, they believe, for where lepers lived. In fact, a lot of great things happened in this place, this house of affliction. And I really believe the reason why Jesus led them there was to make a special point. He could have left, he could have ascended right in Jerusalem, but he led them to this house of affliction to teach them a lesson, to let them see something, to learn something, that even in affliction, you can be blessed. Even in affliction, you can learn to give praise. Even in affliction, you can learn to obey. You see, his last command was, stay in Jerusalem. Then why would he lead them out of the city and then leave them? But there is a reason and there is a plan. He had told them, look, behold, I send the promise of my Father in verse 49. But you wait in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. So you know what this was? It was a test. If he had left them in Jerusalem, that's where they would have been. There would be no test. But he took them out of the city. So if they were going to obey him, you know what they would have had to do? They'd have had to go back to Jerusalem. You're not getting it. Brother Jeff Arnold would have said, that deserved an amen. I guess some of you were too tired from partying yesterday. Amen. But what I want to show you is that sometimes Jesus will lead you to a place of affliction. But it's really just a test. It's just like the broadcast. This is just a test. If it were the real thing, that you would have told you so. He led them out of Jerusalem to see what they were going to do. Because they knew he had said, stay in Jerusalem. He could have ascended from Jerusalem, but he led them all the way out to this little village and then disappeared. Like, what is the point of that? But it was a test to see if they would understand that even in the house of affliction, even in a place of misery, even in a place of suffering, God can have a plan for your life. He can bring deliverance. He can give you an expected outcome. Let me tell you something about what happened in the house of affliction. If you go to the Mark chapter 11, verse 12, Jesus was in Bethany, and he comes across a fig tree. I'm going to tell you some stories of things that happened in the house of affliction. And this tells me something. He came in the season where the fig tree should not be giving any fruit. And yet he walks up to the fig tree, just as outside of Bethany, expecting fruit. You know what that tells me? Even in your affliction, God is expecting you to give fruit. Even when you don't feel like it, God is coming and he's going to expect that you can produce some figs, that you can produce some fruit, that you're not going to let the affliction sap your spiritual strength, that you can say, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Mark 11, 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, just a little bit outside of Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came on it, he found nothing but leaves, because it wasn't the time of figs. But even in this village of affliction, he was looking for some fruit. Even though you're going through it, God is still expecting you to produce. Even in your affliction, you can say, like Job, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Bethany, this house of affliction, some call it house of misery. That's another title for it. right next to this other place called Bethpage, which was the house of undried figs. Probably this tree was very close to the both villages. Let me tell you something else that happened in Bethany. In Mark chapter 14, verse 3, Jesus was invited to dinner to the house of Simon the leper. This man was a rich man, but he happened to have a disease of leprosy. And it was in his house that one of the greatest examples of grace was shown. Here comes this prostitute, this harlot, this no good woman, this person with a ruined reputation, which everybody looked down on. It was in the house of affliction. It was in this village of Bethany that Mary Magdalene came to Jesus weeping. It was there that she brought a broken alabaster jar and poured it upon his head. What I'm trying to tell you is, even in the house of affliction, you can find grace. Even in your place of misery, if you come to Jesus with a broken and a contrite heart, he's right there. The amazing thing about this story is that Simon, who had leprosy, that means he wasn't perfect, was criticizing the woman who had come. If you read the story, he was saying, if Jesus knew who she was, he would have stayed away. But Jesus knew who he was and did not stay away. Because even in the house of misery, in the house of affliction, you can get grace. You begin to see why Jesus ascended from this place. He didn't ascend from Jerusalem, but he led his disciples out deliberately to this place, this little village that was called the house of misery, house of affliction, and then he just left them there. I'm telling you, Jesus will seem to lead you to a place of affliction, of misery, and it may seem he's leaving you there, but he's looking to see what you will do. He's looking to see if you will produce fruit. Even in affliction, he's looking to see if you will come to him with a broken and a contrite heart and receive grace. He's looking to see if you are ready to receive blessing. Do you know you can also worship in affliction? All these things happened in this village of Bethany. In Mark 14:3, as I said, Mary came and she sat at his feet and took her hair and washed his feet. Really, that was worship. Despite what everyone was thinking about her, she did not care. She knew what everybody already thought of her. She did not care. She was determined to come and thank the one who had rescued her. She came deliberately to give love. Jesus said, to whom much is given, much is expected. You know, he said to Simon, you know, when I came in, you didn't wash my feet. You didn't do anything for me. But this woman, wherever the gospel is preached, her story is going to be told. This was in the village of affliction. This was the village where lepers lived. This was the village where the outcasts of Jerusalem stayed. This was not the nice place. This was not the good part of town. And that's where Jesus decided to lead his disciples. The Bible in Psalm says, he leads me the valley of the shadow of death. But I will fear no evil. Why? For thy rod and thy staff. Amen. Beginning to see now why Jesus would have left Jerusalem and brought them to Bethany. Because you can worship even in affliction. You can worship in hardship. You can worship when you're in misery. That seems impossible. Last week, Brother Hatton preached about the woman with the mite, the widow's mite, the little last penny she had. And he brought out the great point. She put it in the treasury. And that the treasury was for poor people. She probably deserved the money that was in the treasury, but yet out of her need, out of her lack, she was giving. This shows you can still worship. It will not be an excuse to God, because I was going through it, I couldn't serve you. It will not be an excuse because everybody was against me, I couldn't serve you. It will not be an excuse. It wasn't the time of worship, so I couldn't worship you. It will not be an excuse. I couldn't come to Sunday school because it was raining. It's where Jesus led them. It's where Jesus left them. Strange, strange that he would not ascend from Jerusalem, but led them out to this little village called the House of Misery. A little leper colony is where he left his disciples. You may be feeling alone and that Jesus has left you, but you know what? This is just a test. He's waiting to see, can you still worship? Can you still praise me? Can you still come to me with a broken vessel? Can you really give me your all? Because that's what he's looking for. That's what he's looking for. I tell you what else can happen in the city of Bethany, in your place of affliction, in this place of misery. You can get blessed. He didn't just leave them, but he blessed them. Verse 50, and he led them as far as Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. I mean, can I get blessed in affliction? Can I get blessed in misery? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. If you're his disciples, if you are following him, they could have said, well, hold up, Jesus, where are you going? You said for us to stay in Jerusalem. Now you're taking us to that leper colony. Couldn't we go somewhere else? Couldn't we go to Emmaus or Bethpage or even Bethlehem? That's where you're born. No, I'm taking you to the leper colony. But even in the leper colony, even in your misery, you know what the last thing he did? He put his hands on them. I tell you, no matter where you are, if Jesus puts his hands on you, you could be in prison. You could right now be in financial need. You could be feeling sick. You could be feeling discouraged. You could be feeling weak. But if Jesus puts his hands on you and blesses you, then you've got something to shout about. You've got something to shout about. In fact, this town of Bethany was where the greatest miracle Jesus did happened. Let's go to John chapter 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus. Whereof? Of Bethany, the house of affliction, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And of course, you know what Mary comes from. It means bitter. Bitter. Some of us, life has made us bitter. We've gone through some hardship. We may even be camped. Maybe our town is Bethany. It's a house of misery, affliction. And yet, Jesus seemed to like this place. It's mentioned 6-7 times. And great miracles happen in Bethany. Blessing can happen in Bethany. Worship can happen in Bethany. Certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped her feet. Despite her situation, despite what people thought of her, she still worshiped. She still worshiped. Now, Lazarus was her brother and was sick. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. You know, when can we say that we're in trouble? We send for Jesus, he doesn't come. Okay, this is for the glory of God. When have you said that? Imagine if we could say that to our problem. We just prayed, been praying for a month, nothing happened. We're in Bethany, the house of affliction. Things are getting miserable. Jesus hasn't come. Jesus said, this sickness is for the glory of God. I want you to replace that word sickness with whatever you're going through. Maybe it's financial crisis. Maybe it's family issue. All you have to do is say, this, whatever it is for the glory of God. If you can believe that, you can receive that even in the house of affliction. Even in the house of affliction. Your greatest deliverance and your greatest miracle can happen in Bethany. You can still be blessed in Bethany. You know the story. He delayed another 2 days till Lazarus died. But it was in Bethany he came. And he said, roll the stone away. But he's been dead 3.5 days. Don't you understand? You should have come here a long time ago, Jesus. But I'm here now. I'm here now. Martha, do you believe I can do this? I know that whatever you ask God, he will do it. Even in Bethany, even in this little rundown village, even in this place where people don't want to move, even this place where people want to get out of town, even in this place called Milwaukee, maybe a house of affliction for some. God can do his greatest miracle. Do you believe that? Right here in Milwaukee. Because that's where he left them. But he didn't leave them without first laying his hands on them and giving them a blessing. Because he promised he will never leave us nor forsake us. But we will have to go through some tests. He had just explained that Christ himself had to go through some suffering. And that's why he led them to the town called Affliction. Because Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to first have to deny yourself, take up your own cross, right? So he leads them to a place where they can be tested. You know, Paul went through some hardship. And he wrote in 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient. For my strength is made perfect. It's when you're at your greatest crisis. It's when you don't see no hope. It's when you're about ready to give up. It's about when you feel hopeless. That's when you should look for your deliverance. That's when you should understand that you're in Bethany and that he has not left you nor forsaken you. But instead he has blessed you and is looking for what you're going to do. Can you worship? Can you bring your alabaster jar? Can you break it and have the ointment anointed? Can you humble yourself? Can you bow at his feet? Because if you can, just like he said about the woman, this story is going to be spoken of wherever the gospel is preached. Your testimony is going to be mentioned in heaven. It's going to be proclaimed before the angels. Hast thou considered my servant Job? How there is none like him. Even though you want me to leave him in Bethany, even though you've let him be sick, even though you've taken away his money, even though his wife and his marriage is falling apart, even though his children have been killed, he still worships me. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. That covers all kinds of things. But that the power of Christ may rest upon me. It's when we are weak, the Bible says he is strong. Hallelujah. It's when we've been left in Bethany, there's some great blessing about to happen. Hallelujah. You can stand with me. I'm done. If you ever wondered now why he led them to Bethany, now you know. Paul goes on to say in verse 10, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Ooh, this is so hard. In reproaches, that's mean when people talk bad about you. In necessities, mean when you have needs and you can't buy what you need, food, rent. In persecution, when they're going beyond talking about you, they're beating you up. In distress, when you don't know what to do, when you're pressured out of measure. For Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. I want to go back to the end of that story because it doesn't end with them in Bethany. Here's what happened. Verse 51, and it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And in Bethany, they worshiped. But they didn't stay in Bethany. What does it say they did? They returned to Jerusalem with joy. They returned to Jerusalem with joy. With joy. They said, Satan, I know we're in Bethany, but we're not staying here. The master said, stay in Jerusalem. And because he blessed us, we're going to go back with joy. We're going to go back to Jerusalem with joy. You know what Jerusalem means? It comes from the Hebrew word shalom, peace. I'm going to get out of the house of affliction, and I'm going to return to God's peace, a peace that passes human understanding, peace that doesn't mean that your situation has changed, but God's relationship with you and your understanding of His blessing on your life has made a difference. Sometimes you may be led to Bethany. And you don't, that made no sense when I read it. No sense whatsoever. Stay in Jerusalem. Now come to Bethany. He was going to see what they were going to do. But they got it all right. As soon as he left, we're not staying here. We out of this place of affliction. We headed back to a place of peace. I'm telling you, we may not understand all what God is doing, but trust Him. We may not be able to work it out, but trust Him. Because He can see further than we can. He understands what we truly need. And once He had blessed them, the Bible said they returned to Jerusalem, not with just joy. Read it again. Great joy. Man, they were singing and skipping and rejoicing. It made no sense. But they trusted the Master. They were going to leave the house of affliction, go back to the place of peace. Because that's what He had said. I don't know where you are. Maybe you're on your way to Bethany. Maybe some of you are already in Bethany. Just remember this. It's not a place you're going to have to stay at. He wants you to stay at Jerusalem, the place of peace, the place of power, the place of blessing. But the way to Jerusalem, when the pilgrims came down from Galilee, you know what? They had to come through Bethany if they were going to avoid going through Samaria. They had to come through the city, the village of Bethany, and sometimes stay there overnight. You may be in your nighttime stay in Bethany. But listen, before He went, He blessed you. You may not have felt His hand upon your head. But Jesus in John 17 through 20, He made a prayer. He said, I pray for these. And not only these, He's speaking about His disciples, but all they who through their word would come to you. You know what He's done? He's laid His hands on you. And He has blessed you. Even in Bethany, even in your house of misery, even in your affliction, even in your suffering. Because the Bible says, if we suffer with Him, we shall also reign with Him. And He had just explained to them about His suffering and that it was prophesied. And then He leads them out to Bethany. But I like how the story ends. It says, and they returned, and they worshiped Him, and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. I'm closing this service. My messages are short. I'm not good at preaching long, but I hope you got this message today. He's blessed you. Even if He seems to have left you, He's blessed you. And He's told you, go back to the place of peace. Trust me. Hallelujah. This altar is open. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for reaching out today. We thank You for blessing us. We thank You for explaining to us that we must needs go through Bethany sometimes to get to Jerusalem. Lord, we trust You. We're not going to lean to our own understanding, but we accept that just like You, we are going to have to go through some suffering. But You're not going to leave us. You have promised to never leave us. And we're going to return to Jerusalem with great joy. Hallelujah. Church, if you could pray. If you could just lift up your voice in prayer just for a little bit. And tell God that you trust Him. That you know you're not going to stay in the house of affliction. And that He has a plan for your life. And He's going to take you out of Bethany. Come on, let's just raise our voice. Let's open our mouth. Let's speak some words into the air. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you could all stand with me. Sometimes where we're camping is Bethel. That's where Jacob slept, and it was Bethel. But sometimes it's Bethlehem, the house of bread. Sometimes it's Bethany, the house of affliction. But in any case, the end place is going to be Jerusalem. We're only camping. I, John, saw the heavenly Jerusalem adorned as a bride coming down out of heaven. The city of the King, the city of peace. That's where we're headed. So sometimes you're in Bethel, sometimes you're in Bethlehem, sometimes you're in Bethany, but it's only temporary. Where we're headed is the city of peace, Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem. That's what John saw in Revelation coming down. Last thing I'm going to say, Jesus said in John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled." It's a lot of things to give us heart problems, to make us worry. But Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go away to prepare a place that where I am, you may be also." So he left them in the place of Bethany. But you know where he was gone? To prepare a place. That means they were not going to stay there. Hallelujah. Just meditate upon that. You're not staying in Bethany. You may be visiting for a while, that's all. Don't put down any roots. Don't look at the school system. Don't get a job there. That's not home. You're passing through. Hallelujah. If you could bow your hearts with me, Father, we thank you for your word today. Help us to understand that our final destination is your city of peace, your city, the new Jerusalem. Hallelujah. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. Lord, cover us as we go, Lord God. Surround us with your Holy Spirit. Walk with us. Lift us up, O God, even as we're in Bethany. Lord, continue to lay your hand upon us and give us the blessing. Help us to rejoice. And start the journey back to Jerusalem with joy. We thank you right now for deliverance. We thank you for healing. We thank you for victory. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, give God a praise offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Return to Jerusalem rejoicing with great joy. God bless you. Greet everyone. Greet our visitors. Amen. Come on out Tuesday night for Bible study. May the Lord give you peace and make his face to shine upon you. God bless you in Jesus' name. There will be chorale practice shortly, so those of